morning, everyone. This is Linda Santadica on Pressing Beyond. Often when one thinks retirement, the first thought is the end. Not so, and not according to Mr. Rogers, who once said, quote, "Often when you think you're at the end of something, you're at the beginning of something else," unquote. So while one chapter comes to an end, a new one begins. And no one knows how to start a new chapter better than Paul Martino, former reporter and anchor for KDKA-TV here in Pittsburgh. Prior to his 40-year career at KDKA, Paul worked at stations in Mobile, Alabama, Quincy, Illinois, Davenport, Iowa, and Carbondale, Illinois. Referred to as the Sam Donaldson of Pittsburgh by the Wall Street Journal, Paul received numerous Associated Press and Golden Quill Awards, and his You Paid For It series earned him an Emmy nomination. He had the privilege of covering the Pittsburgh Penguins' first two Stanley Cup wins and joined the team on the ice in Minnesota, as well in his hometown of Chicago. He served as president for 20 years for the SAG-AFTRA Ohio-Pittsburgh local. And not just from the news desk, but Paul also can hold an audience while performing with his all-star band. He raised three children in the Pittsburgh area and currently resides in Bloomfield with his new bride, Joy Ballantyne. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. You got all that right. All this stuff's being written about me, and sometimes they get a fact or two wrong, but you're right on.
You know, I'm just thinking about something. We are switching roles here because you're often the one that interviews people. So now I'm nervous.
I've had to sit down for a few interviews lately, and I'm nervous too. So it's a change in roles for me.
Before we start, I just want to say, my husband and I, we were privileged to be invited to your surprise retirement party last week. And were you surprised?
Oh, yeah.
That was quite the sentiment.
I was shocked because, you know, my wife, Joy, she's not very good at keeping secrets. She wears her emotion on her sleeves. And I had suspected she was up to something, but not that. So
we knew about it for a while. And there were a couple of times I almost slipped when I saw you at a previous concert and everything. But it was really a wonderful party and you had a great turnout. Okay, Paul, while most people, especially here in Western PA, they know who you are. I mean, you're on the news every night. Most of the people that do know you personally know how you got started in broadcasting. And as we've discussed, particularly about this podcast, we all have to press beyond various challenges to reach our calling and live out our true purpose. So before we get into the gist of your career, our listeners would love to know how this all started, the seed of an idea to become a broadcaster, because you had a very long run.
Many of us have had this experience. My grandparents were Italian immigrants. They eventually settled outside of Chicago. My grandfather was a skilled craftsman. He could build a spiral staircase by hand, kitchen cabinets by hand, things that are all done in factories today. He gave that gift to my father, and my father eventually became, lived the American dream, became a very successful building contractor in the Chicago area. And that was to be my lot in life. I was the heir apparent to Paul Martino Builders. The only problem is I didn't have the gift. I did not have the gift. Wasn't good with the tools. My brothers were better at it and often clashed with my father, as Italian sons and fathers often do. So in the meantime, I'm an avid listener to AM rock radio, which was the thing back in the 60s. And at that time, the FCC required them to carry newscast every hour. And they had these guys with these dynamic, ballsy voices doing the news, and they had this tongue-in-cheek, clever writing, and I really dug it. I really got it. So that was the first thing. I also had an interest in politics at a young age. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think I got that from my mother, even though our politics were very different. She had a keen interest in it and got me interested in it. Then when I got in high school, I got on speech team, and everybody said, "Damn, you know, you're talented. You've got a voice." And I was directed to Southern Illinois University. It's about 300 miles south of Chicago. And they had a great communication school. And I got the broadcasting bug. I was a black sheep because I wasn't going into the family business. And
you weren't going to build staircases, that's for sure.
No. I did work for my dad a few years, but I was good at sweeping up and those kinds of things.
But your heart was elsewhere.
All right.
It was at the news desk.
Well, you know, first of all, let me tell you, SIU was this incredible eye-opener. I lived in this white Republican suburb. My high school was Dwight D. Eisenhower High School. I had actually come and dedicated it. And then I go into this ultra-liberal school. It was during the Vietnam War, protests all the time. And I'm like, where the heck have I been? You know, it really opened my eyes to another world. And my speech coach in high school instructed me. He said, when you get to campus, go down to the television station. Tell them what you want to do. Be very businesslike. I did what he said, and they put me on the air my freshman year. They had a PBS television station. They did student-run newscast, and they had an NPR radio station. And I worked on both. I was a kid. What kind of arrogance is that? I want to be an anchorman. I'm 18 years old, you know. Anyway, the next year, I got a job at the local radio station. It was a paying gig, and it was a real radio station, and that was kind of a big deal. So things took off from there. It was great. All of it was great experience. Great experience.
Yeah, well, it was obviously, it was just escalating you further towards your position here in Pittsburgh, KDKA for 38, 40 years. What were some of the stories that more of the momentous moments you had?
Well, the You Paid for It series is probably something that a television station wouldn't do today. It was a story that we spent months on. I had a producer working with me, and we often spent time in the Capitol, and the station devoted a lot of money to it. It was a series of reports how our state lawmakers are embellishing or putting money in their own pockets, money that we give them. The ironic thing about it is it follows their rules. They set these rules that enable them to double dip on their meal money and things like that, to be able to rent a luxury car that we paid for, and on and on and on. I hate to tell you, Linda, the series had an impact. Eventually, a lot of these guys went to prison.
Wow.
But they're still doing these practices today.
It's still going on.
You know, let me tell you how ridiculous it is. The Pennsylvania House of Representatives has their own barbershop, but there's another one in the Senate.
That's crazy. You had some significant moments. Pennsylvania House of Representatives, didn't they boo you off the floor?
Yeah. When you go onto the House floor, the sergeant at arms has to introduce a guest coming onto the floor. We'd already aired a number of stories, and when we were introduced, they not only booed us, they adjourned for recess.
Okay, we're done. That's great. I know one thing that we touched on, the story from Alabama.
Mayor Bob Doyle.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was kind of like the city hall reporter there, and they hadn't had a reporter like me before. Here's this Yankee Italian guy snooping around all the time, finding stuff they don't want reported. So I was sitting at my desk one day, and the city clerk called me, who happened to be a good source of mine, and he said, Bob Doyle is being held hostage, and this guy wants to talk to a reporter. So I was young enough and dumb enough to grab a photographer, and we went into the freaking room where a .357 Magnum was being held to Bob Doyle's head.
Boy.
And this guy was drunk. He was a retired cop, and he apparently had some issues with his pension. He thought he was being ripped off. And in fact, he may have had some problems. So we go in there and we try to talk the guy down. So I'm standing between him and the door, and there's a noise at the door, and he swung that gun around at me. I dove on the floor. It was a big gun. So it was all captured on video, and the station ran a promo of that for weeks and weeks and weeks. I had to look at myself diving. But anyway, we did talk him down, and eventually the pensions guy came in and said, Joe Puckett was his name. Joe, we're going to fix your pension. And he gave up then. And everybody got out unharmed, peacefully. That would never happen today. There would be a two-block perimeter set up. There would be no reporter walking in there saying, hey, how you doing?
Now, Paul, how you got the name from the Wall Street Journal that you were the Sam Donaldson of Pittsburgh?
Back in the 80s, when I arrived here, Sam Donaldson covered the White House for ABC. He got a reputation for shouting at Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan would often pretend he couldn't hear. He's hard of hearing. So when I came on the scene, one of the reasons they hired me is because they didn't have aggressive reporters, and they had seen my work in Mobile. That's what they wanted. So I started shouting at the politicians here. That's where that name came from.
Now that you are out from behind the desk, you can do anything you want, but it's not easy when you've had a schedule, a structured career for so many years. So what's in the forecast? How are you going to navigate through this transition? Because I've been through it and it is challenging.
Well, you know, it's only been a month and a half, so I'm still adjusting. My wife tells me, and I feel it, that I'm a lot less stressed. I don't have a deadline every day, or two or three deadlines. And I don't have a producer or somebody calling me saying, well, why did you do this? Or why didn't you do this while I'm under deadline? And of course, as you know, there's been a lot of celebrating going on.
Oh my gosh, every night you've been doing something.
Yes, we're going to do more traveling here next month. I'm golfing more, still no good at it, but I'm still golfing. I've done a little fill-in at KDKA Radio, and I anticipate I'll be doing more of that. And I'm working on getting some voiceover work, maybe some commercials. You know, I don't know that it's fully set in yet.
Also, your band, Paul Martino's All-Star Band.
Yes, I'm very blessed to be able to get on stage with some of the most gifted musicians in our area. Herman Granati is one of them. Some folks may have heard of the Granati brothers. Hermie is an extraordinary keyboardist and vocalist. And also Jack Hunt, also known as Johnny Angel, plays drums and sings in the band. He's an extraordinary singer. He's got a big following. You've been to the shows.
Fabulous.
Jack had a severe case of COVID. So that's sort of put the band on hiatus. Jack is out of the hospital. He is recovering. I think he's going to make a full recovery.
Wonderful.
So I've been sitting in with the Granati Brothers band that I've mentioned. I think the end of the month, we're at the Butler Italian Fest.
And oh, wonderful.
A couple of other things. Yeah. Butler Italian Festival. And
you have some travel?
Well, we went to Chicago, and that's where my family is, obviously. We're going to go to Florida, although we're very concerned
with the
COVID situation there. And yeah, our goal is to go to Italy next September. Hopefully this horrible disease is under control by then.
And lastly, what is your ultimate desire?
My ultimate desire is for my youngest daughter, who is happily married and successful in her career and just bought a house. And now it's time for her to have a baby.
You want to be a grandfather in your retirement.
A grandchild in my arms.
Absolutely.
One thing I've realized in the month and a half of retirement is sometimes you wonder, do people like you just because you're on television, or are they really your friend? And the outpouring of love that I've gotten since I retired really just reaffirmed everything about me. Buddy has been so beautiful to me.
I've seen it when we saw you at the concert, and I saw it at your retirement party, and you've been written up in so many publications, and of course on your social media. I see like every night you're somewhere. Everybody's just been so gracious to you and Joy. It's been amazing.
It has, and I had no idea, my ignorance.
No, but you know what? That is a testimony to the person that you've been to everybody.
Thank you. Telling me stories about how I helped them when they first started at the station, and that's very gratifying to hear.
Well, there you go. You know, what's your calling? What's your purpose? It's not just about going to work, but the impact you make on everybody.
Remember how difficult it was, you know, when I was starting out. So.
And now you leave a legacy. And you start a new one. You start a new one. Launch into a new chapter. And we're all going to be there with you.
Well, yeah, we're going to have dinner soon, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Paul Martino. And you know what? We may not see you on KDKA, but we are going to be hearing a lot more about you.
All right, dear. Thank you, Linda.